We have just a few announcements this morning. The Wednesday night Bible study is going to be meeting this Wednesday, October 16th at 7 p.m., and we're going to be continuing our study in the life of Jesus and his I Am statements. And this week we're going to look at I Am the Gate and the Good Shepherd in the New Testament. So there are some handout sheets on the back podium for this week's study. Please take one, even if you're not able to come out on Wednesday night. It's a great study to do at home. Continue to pray for God's leading in our search for a pastor. Keep that as a priority in your prayer time. October is also the month for the Samaritan's Purse Shoebox Campaign. So there are shoeboxes and papers at the back on the back pew, and it is a great worthy cause. So if you have an interest in filling a shoebox, please take one. And the deadline to have the shoeboxes returned is the end of October, so you have a few weeks to get that done. There is an evangelism workshop on November the 2nd from 10 to 3. It's being held at Banwell Community Church. There's no cost to attend, and it's an event that includes lunch and refreshments as well. So if you have an interest in evangelism and honing your skills on witnessing, I think it'll be a great workshop to attend. So November the 2nd. Next Sunday, our speaker is Mr. David Gourley, so we look forward to having him. Also, next Sunday after the service, there will be a luncheon as we celebrate the life of Bob Dick. So there is a paper on the podium with a menu, and if you'd like to sign up to bring something for the lunch, please do so. So that's at the back of the church, and we will. Bob didn't want a service, and he wanted a lunch, a celebration lunch. So there will be an opportunity for people to give some words about Bob if they have something that they want to share as well. So plan to stay after church next Sunday for the lunch. Our speaker today is Mr. Mark Hawkins, and we're so happy to have him back again and his family. So welcome, and we look forward to the message that God has laid on his heart. At this time, let's just go to God in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you so much. We come before you and we thank you because, not because it's just Thanksgiving Sunday, but Lord, we thank you because you are the great creator. You created all things. You created us in your image. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards each one of us. Lord, we thank you that it's only through faith in Christ that we have salvation, but it was a free gift that you offered to us. So, Lord, we just thank you that you found a way and made a way for us to have redemption and be able to stand before you someday. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for Bob's life that we're going to celebrate next Sunday and the witness that he was for you. And, Lord, we just thank you for that time that we had him within our church family. And we know that we will see him again in your presence in the future. So, Lord, we just thank you again for the hope that we have that's only through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you for this church and this community. We thank you for the outreach event last week and the people that came out. And, Lord, we just thank you for the love that was shown. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that we do have to witness, not only as an event at the church, but also in our own lives. Lord, we come into contact with so many people, and even within our own families, where we can share your love and share our faith with those in our families. Lord, help us to do that faithfully and be witnesses for you in all places, wherever we are, even with strangers on the street or in a shopping mall, at a movie theater, wherever we are, Lord, just help us to always identify opportunities that we can share your love with others. Lord, we thank you for each person in our church family. And Lord, we know that there are some health concerns. Lord, I pray for those that aren't here this Sunday, especially if it's due to illness. Lord, we just pray for Karen, who had a fall yesterday, and we just pray for healing for her knee. And Lord, we just lay all of the cares and concerns that we have within our church family and health concerns at this time. Lord, we just also pray for Gail, who's in hospital at this time. Lord, we just ask for your healing touch on her body, and we know that she will want to be back with us singing again in the near future. But Lord, we just pray your healing hand upon her life at this time. Lord, we thank you for this neighborhood, and Lord, we just ask that you give us opportunities to be your witness in this neighborhood as well. And Lord, we just also pray for our country that we live in. We thank you for the freedoms that we have, but Lord, we also know that the leadership is not always looking to make decisions that are pleasing to you. So Lord, we just pray that you bring godly leaders into power within our country. Lord, we just pray that other countries that are having difficulties and having wars and persecution to Christian believers, we just pray for your hand in those situations. We pray for peace from the wars that we hear about. Lord, we pray for people that are being killed in parts of the world, and sometimes we don't even know about the things that are happening in other parts of the world. But Lord, you know. You know what's happening, and Lord, we just ask that you bring peace to this world. Lord, we know that it is all things are possible, and that is something that's possible, but only through your power and through your hand. So, Lord, we lay this care and concern at your feet at this time. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have here in Canada to worship you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the message that you've laid on Mark's heart to share with us this morning. And Lord, we just pray that as we continue in our service, that you will help us to keep our focus on you, help us to keep our eyes attentive and our ears open to hear the message that you want us to hear. And Lord, then help us to carry it out with us and share it with others as we leave at the end of the service. So Lord, we just pray all of these things in your mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Get all set up here. There we go. So before I start with what I think that God has for me to share with you, I'd just like to pray for a moment just to help us to be open to these things. So I say, come, Holy Spirit. Reveal to us the wisdom from your living words. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to obey. So when I was thinking about what I felt like God wanted me to share here this morning, I quickly remembered, of course, that this is Thanksgiving weekend. And I thought for a moment to ask the question, why? Now, I'm sure you're all familiar with the old pot roast story, right? Where mom's making a pot roast and the little girl is watching the mom make the pot roast. The mom cuts the end off the pot roast before she puts it in the oven. The little girl says to her mom, like, Mom, why are you doing that? And the mom says, honestly, I don't know why I do this. It's just the way that my mom has always done it. And so calls up her mom. Mom, why we cut the pot roast before you put it in the oven? She said, I don't know. That's the way my mom always did it, right? And so then together they call the grandma or the great grandma, depending on who we're talking about in the story. It's like, why'd you cut the end off the pot roast? It's like, well, it was too big to fit in the pot, right? And so if you never stop to ask why, you can continue to do things that either you don't need to do or maybe you shouldn't do. And so I thought, maybe I could ask the question, like, why bother actually giving thanks? Is there any reason, any purpose to it, or is this just something that we've always done? I mean, we have a celebratory thing once a year, let's give thanks. Or is this something that perhaps there is a good reason behind, and maybe, just maybe, we should make it a practice in our daily lives? And so I did what I always do when I start asking the question why, is I said, I wonder what the Bible says about this, right? And I, through my kind of quick research, I don't claim to be a Bible scholar or I don't have no PhD or anything like that, but I found five reasons why I think the Bible tells us that we should make giving thanks a daily practice. And the first reason that I found was because God told us to. And honestly, as far as I'm concerned, you don't actually really need to go any further than that reason. But if we take a look at, for example, Psalm 136, and so I'll read just the first few verses of it. It's a long psalm, and it's worthy of reading the whole thing because it's got great stuff in it. But it starts off, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever." And then the psalmist spends the next 20 verses talking about all of the great and wondrous things that the Lord has done. And he finishes by saying, "Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever." You see, the psalmist knew what he should do, and that's give thanks specifically to God. And if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see a command here. I'm going to read a little bit more than just the verse. I want to focus on verse 16, 17, and 18, actually. They kind of squish together. But I'll read the beginning just for context. It says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, of course, not just giving thanks, right? We see that command at the end has more than that. Rejoice always, right? Even when it's not easy to do. Pray continually, right? But give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You hear all the time, "I just want to know God's will for my life. There are enough things like this." That's not what people talk about usually when they ask that question, what's God's will for my life, right? They want something specific like, what job should I do? Who should I marry? Do I do this? Do I do that? But I think if you follow these little things, call them little things, they're not really that little, those other things will follow through. So honestly, the first reason why we should give thanks is because God told us to, right? He deserves it. It's really something that just specifically just towards God, he deserves it. But in this scripture, though, it's talking about give thanks in all circumstances. It seems like there's a suggestion that it's not just to God that we have to give our thanks. And so it's still a command. It's still something that we need to do. God told us to. Let's do it. The second reason that I found to give thanks in life is because there's a group of people who don't. And generally speaking in the Bible, they are not looked upon with favor. I've heard it said before that everyone has a purpose in life, and sometimes your purpose is to be an example for others of what not to do. Now, that's a little harsh, right? And obviously that it's a funny thing to say, but it's not really what I want to focus on. And I want to make sure that when I read what I'm about to read and say, hey, we don't want to be like this group of people, that it is about our hearts that we're worried and we're not doing this sort of thing. Like the Pharisee and the publican, right? Where the Pharisee walked into the church and looked around and said, glad I'm not like that guy. I do this and this and this, and I don't do that and that and that. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I didn't say Jesus. And thank you, God, that you didn't make me like that guy. Right? But that guy went in and said, he wouldn't even lift his head, right? His head's down. He's, forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. And the Bible tells us that the second guy, not the first, went away justified. He went away justified, right? So when I say what I'm saying, this is not to say I'm up here and these people are down here, but simply that we're going to look at a group of people that are not looked well upon, and I'm going to take that as a warning for myself. I want to guard my heart to not end up where they ended up, not saying that I'm better than them, but saying that I want to be careful. And so most of us are familiar with the phrase in passage in Romans 1 talking about the wrath of God being put on people. And it talks about lots of stuff there, but I think the key thing I want to focus in on is Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him. Again, what happens if you don't give thanks to God? Like if I don't take the time to say, thank you, God, for my beautiful wife, or thank you, God, for the job that I have that pays the bills, and thank you, God, for the house that you provided, and thank you, God, for the car that I drive, and thank you, God, for the family that I have, and the friends that I have, and the church family that I have, and leaders and disciplers and all. If I don't take the time to say thank you to God for those things, before too long, I'm going to start thinking, thank you, Mark, for my beautiful wife. Thank you, Mark, for the house that I have and the job that I've been able to work. Thank you. Even saying that out loud as a counterexample hurts me on the inside. Right? Because as soon as I start relying on myself and my own strength, I started to know those guys that although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor thanked him. And their thinking became futile and the foolish hearts were darkened. Even just saying when I was pretending to look into myself, that sounded foolish and darkened. We got to give our thanks to God. Recently, in the men's group that we have at our church, we were looking through the book of 1 Timothy, and it's actually a fun book to look into, and I actually really, really enjoy it. And we noticed something, and we were actually just studying this last week, the first bit of chapter 2. And it talks about, it says, I urge you, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that they may have peaceful lives in all godliness and holiness. And then, in verse 8, it says, therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. And there's a bunch in the middle there, too, which is important. But think about, I look at the connection here. If I am giving prayers, petitions, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all people, especially the kings and those in authority, if I have that sort of feeling to begin with, then it's likely that I will be able to lift my holy hands without anger or disputing, right? Second reason why we want to be thankful and have a thanks, be giving thanks all the time is that we don't, it's kind of the thing that evil people don't do. Those bad guys don't do that sort of thing. Maybe because they don't do that sort of thing, that's why they ended up where they were. So without kind of saying those people are terrible, I want to say I want to learn from that example. And I want to be a thankful person so that I don't end up where they ended up. At the same time, as much as possible, try to lift others up, right, with what I can do. The second thing, and I don't know if you've noticed this, the reason number three, I guess I said second thing, but we're at reason number three, being thankful, giving thanks, having those words come out of your mouth is actually the opposite of having crude or foolish talk. So one of the things that I've said before is, you know the old saying, right? If I tell you not to think of a pink elephant, it's just about impossible for you not to think of a pink elephant, right? Try really hard not to think of a pink elephant. You're going to fail, right? But if I say to you instead of thinking of a pink elephant, I would like you to think of a purple goat. Now, how many of you found it instantly the pink elephant was gone and now you had the purple goat in your head, right? If you just try not to do one thing without replacing it with something else, it becomes very difficult and almost futile. And so being thankful and actively giving thanks, having the words come out of your mouth, is the opposite of having crude and foolish talk. Where do I get that from? It's from Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So, listen, I haven't always had the best language come out of my mouth theme my entire life. Like, I haven't always been a pastor, but even as a pastor, I've noticed sometimes that the things you say aren't always what you want them to say. And sometimes it's just a harsh word where you could have used a kind one, right? And again, just in my own strength, trying to change that, don't think of a pink elephant, right? But instead, if I say, "God, I want to be more thankful, and I want to have those thankful words come out of my mouth, and I want to replace what was once there with what you would have me say," there's your purple goat, right? And again, I do want to emphasize over and over again that this is a process of Jesus changing my heart too. Like, I can't do this whole thing on my own. I can actively do some of the work, and there's a responsibility on our parts to do what we can do. At the same time, I'm asking Jesus to continually work on my heart and to change it, because I know I'm not where I want to be. I know I'm not where I will be. And I want to be more and more like him every day. If tomorrow I can be 1% closer to where Jesus is than I was today, or even 0.5% or 0.1%, right? That's what I want to see continually happening. So again, being thankful, reason number three, of course, is the opposite of crude and foolish talk. And we don't want crude and foolish talk coming out of our mouths. Reason number four that I saw, and this is I'm kind of switching my orientation a little bit from what we would say thanking God for things, but also to thanking each other. And if you've never had someone spontaneously come up to you and say, "Thank you for the way you fill in the blank," right? Maybe care for your children, or the meal you made, or a chair you built, or whatever. If you've never had that happen, I feel really bad for you, because that's awesome when it happens. And as I'm saying this, you might have immediately thought of some time that has happened to you, and how much of a difference it makes to each other, right? And I'm reminded a little bit of, there's this thing they talk about the one another's. I don't know how familiar you are, where there's, I think it's close to 100 times in the New Testament, there's like, do this for one another, right? And a number of them we have, like, for example, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another. Now, that's not technically giving thanks, right? But if you thank someone for doing something, that will encourage them to do it again, right? What's interesting, actually, I just read verse 11, but if we go in above it, I love how we have these big things, and often the Bible solution is very, very simple. So I want to read the first couple of verses before verse 11 in Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We've got this heavy, heavy situation talking about salvation and being so sober and working through our salvation. Encourage one another, right? Often the solution is so simple. Maybe not easy, but definitely simple. In Hebrews chapter 3, we have another one where it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That's big and heavy, right? Sinful, unbelieving heart. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Oh, hardened by sin's deceitfulness? What's the solution? Encourage one another daily. We've got this big thing that seems scary when you talk about it out loud. What's the solution? Encourage one another. And then Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23, he told us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Have you ever told you that peer pressure was always bad? It's not. Let's spur one another on. One way that you can do that is by thanking each other for the things that they've done. Okay? I'm not here every week, right? So I don't know what each person here does every week. But I do know that you have a faithful crew that works day in and day out to make sure that there is a place for you to be here and hear the word of God. I see it. I don't know what each individual does, but I know that there are people who do it. Have you thanked them recently? See, sometimes things like this where you're, oh, I'm not performing, but there is a level of giving you stuff, and if it goes well, that's what was supposed to happen. Good job, you did your job. I don't need to say anything. That was what was supposed to happen. And if it doesn't go well, maybe you'll hear about it. But how often have you thanked the people who served you day in and day out? I get thanked every time I'm here, which is great, and I appreciate it. I really do. I'm just here for half an hour or whatever, and then I'm gone. Like I have my own church family that I'm serving in, right? I am happy to serve you guys in this way, but I'm not the foundation of this community. Right? I'm just a pebble tossed in the pond. And so, again, I don't know personally who to thank, but I want to say thank you to the faithful people at Ambassador Baptist, who who day in and day out serve the people of God. It's amazing. And I wish you could hear that more often. I really do. Saying thank you blesses others. I gotta say, when Kevin asked me for my sermon title and my scripture that I was going to use, I gave him a title and a scripture. I haven't actually read the scripture I said I was going to use yet. Sometimes we do that, right? The more scripture, the better. Because let me tell you, the words I say, you can probably trust. The words that are in the Bible, it's a rock, right? So the more that we can listen to what we know the Lord has told us, the better off we're going to be. But this brings me to reason number 5. Why do we give thanks? And that is, giving thanks is a worry buster. Okay? I'm going to read this first, and then I'll go to what I was going to say. So, Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We have a little Jack Russell / Chihuahua dog that I usually take for a walk every morning before my day starts. And there have been times when, as I'm walking and talking, and I'm just like, bleh, right? It's just, and I'm telling you, like, this whole thing, right? The stuff coming out of my mouth is not stuff that I probably actually should be saying, right? And then I live in Kingsville, so I live down by the lake there, and I'll walk down to the lake, and I'll look, and I'll see what the Lord has created, and I will say, thank you, Jesus, for creating this beautiful lake. And sometimes I get to see the sunrise over the lake, which is really gorgeous, and I say, thank you, Jesus, for... And the moment I start saying thank you to Jesus for, my whole attitude changes, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It is really hard to worry about things while you are thanking God. If you tried hard, you probably could do it. But I don't know why you'd want to. Right? And we talk about the peace that transcends all understanding, which is a fun way of saying it's a peace that just doesn't make sense. Right? And, oh, I want to see that peace for you guys here. You know, every time I come, we talk a little bit about the search for a pastor. And I've said it actually while I was here, that could be discouraging. That you guys have worked and searched and worked and searched. Such faithful members who continue to try. And I'll just say, in fact, Paul will say, do not be anxious about your search for a pastor. But by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's amazing to see this group of faithful people. You don't even understand. It really is amazing to me. And so, again, when we ask the question, should we be giving thanks? Why bother giving thanks? I say to you, absolutely yes, we should give thanks. Number one, our God deserves it, and he requires it of us. He told us to do it. Again, for me, that's reason enough, right? If God tells me to do something, I don't need any more reasons. But we have many, many more reasons, right? God told us to do it. And people who have fallen into darkness, they don't do it. And I don't want to be like that. It is a great purple goat for crude and foolish talk, right? I'm not spending my efforts trying not to do something. I can put my energy into actually doing something instead. It blesses others. It really does. And it is Thanksgiving weekend. But I hope you can hold on to this for next week and next month and remember to tell the people who have made a difference in your life how much you appreciate it. Thank them, and just love on them. And finally, reason number five, it is a worry buster. And when you're in a spot where you're worried about things, again, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you.